As I was preparing for the message, of course, I was down at my son's, and the Lord laid the word blessing on my heart. And so I went a direction with that word. And as I got home, I just didn't have any peace with the direction I went regarding the message on blessings. So Friday, I started seeking the Lord and saying, Lord, I know it's blessings, but there's something, either I'm missing something or I'm going the wrong direction with this word that you've given me. And I need your direction. I need to know what direction you want me to go with this. And so as I was, just going through scriptures and just praying, the Lord laid this on my heart. So it's a little different today, and it might not be as long, but it's when you hear this message today, I want you to ponder. I really want you to ponder and think about the examples of God's blessings. So I'm going to start with when the Israelites entered the promised land, Moses picked one man out of each of the 12 tribes, and they were to be spies, and they were to go into the promised land. And, they were going to go into the promised land, the people of Israel went to Moses, and they said, Moses, do you think maybe we should kind of send some spies in there, kind of check things out before we get in there to see what we're up against? And so Moses, of course, he went to God with that. And God said, yes, go ahead, send these spies in. And so that's what Moses did. He decided to send these 12 spies in. And the spies were to report about the route that all of them went in together, the route that they were going to take as they went into the promised land. So that was one reason why the spies went in. The other reason was they were to find out what towns they were coming into. So there was a lot that they had to look into as these 12 spies stepped out and started to look into the promised land. But the other things that God told Moses to tell them was this, that the spies were to gather information about the people, if they were strong, if they were weak, if the people were few in number, or if there were many people in the promised land already. And then also, they were to take note that as they went into the cities, were the people in camps like tents, or were they in a stronghold or a fortress, a fort, something that was strong and sturdy. So they were to take note of all these different things. Plus, the other thing that they were asked to take note of was what kind of terrain, what kind of environment was the promised land? What did it consist of? So they were looking to see if it was a forest, if there were a lot of hills, mountains, waterways, all those kind of things. So there was a lot that they had to look into, these 12 spies. But the last thing Moses asked them or requested of them as spies, he says, I want you to bring some of the fruit back from the promised land so that the people of Israel can see what's there. So once they see what's there, it will give them the drive to go in there and be bold and step out and go into the promised land. But the spies did as Moses asked, and they came back, of course, with the fruit, and they reported that the land was flowing with milk and honey. But a majority of those spies brought a negative report back with them. And they said, there were intimidating giants there, and there was danger ahead. Okay? So the thing is this. When they... Well, let's go there. I'll just read it from here. It says, they used 6 times the word we. Now think about this. They used we 6 times with no reference to God. In other words, when they gave the report to Moses, this is what they said. that the Israelites were able to experience because they used the word we instead of using God as their, you know, well, with God we can do all things. With God we can go in and we can do this. They went ahead and used the word we. They were looking in the natural. They were not looking and leaning on God. And because of that, they did not experience the ultimate blessing of God's promise that he had promised them to go into the promised land. They put their eyes on the things of the natural and instead of on what God did. And the thing is this, these 12 spies were eyewitness to God. They experienced firsthand God's favor, God's blessing on them when God poured out his favor and set them free from Egypt, from slavery. They were firsthand experienced what God's promise, God's blessing was. Not only that, they also with their own feet felt the dry land of the bottom of the Red Sea as the Red Sea was parted. They experienced that walk through the Red Sea. And yet, when they went to the promised land and they saw those giants and they saw the trouble that possibly was ahead of them, they focused on the negative or the natural things, not what God had can do. And then the thing is, they didn't look back and see what God had already done for them. They were too busy looking at the here and now, things that are only temporal. They, instead of looking back and saying, oh yes, God did this then. If he did this then, he's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. If he did this then, he can do it now. But because they chose not to, you know, focus on God and what God had done and what God can do, they lost a blessing from God. They lost that ultimate blessing of stepping out and trusting God in that situation. They had seen God's faithfulness time and time again, and yet they chose to put their eyes on the things of the natural. So this is where I want to go with this. Yet they used we six times in the and no reference to God. It says, we can't go up against them. We can't go up against them. Number two, they are stronger than we are. Number three, the land we traveled through and explored will devour anyone who goes and lives there. So here's three times already, they're looking in the natural. They're not looking at what God had done or what God can do. They're looking in the natural. They're looking at what's the here and now. Here's another one, number four. All the people we saw were huge. Number five, we even saw the giants there. And number six, next to them, we felt like grasshoppers. We felt like grasshoppers. Six times they used the word we in explaining and giving the report when they went into the promised land. And it was all negative. It was all a negative report. But here's Caleb. In Numbers 13, it says the only ones that were optimistic were Caleb and Joshua. Caleb says this, let's go at once to take the land. We can certainly conquer it. But only two out of those 12 were optimistic. In other words, they didn't have their eyes on the circumstances, on the situation, on the problem. They had their eyes or their spiritual eyes on the promises of God. So like the Israelites, we all experience trouble every single day. And it says in John chapter 16, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. Because he says right here, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus is saying, I know you're going to experience hard times. I know you're going to go through some valleys. I know that you're going to hit some walls. But if you'll do what Caleb and Joshua did, this is an example to show us that if we take our eyes and put them on God's promises, God's blessings, God will come through for us. So like the Israelites, we can look at the problem or we can look at the promises. So here's another example. Now this one you're going to go, wow, where did, you know, how did we get to this particular scripture? This is out of 1 Chronicles chapter 4 verses 9 and 10, and I want to read that one. And this is about Jabez. And it says, "Now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, 'Because I bore him in pain.' And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, 'Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain.' So God granted him what he requested." So with that, what I'm saying here is that Jabez, his name means cause pain or cause sorrow. I'm assuming that his mother named him that because there was such intense pain when she gave birth to him, that that's why she gave him that name. But the thing is this, instead of Jabez being focused on the fact in the natural that his name meant Jabez is sorrow or pain, instead of focusing on that, he went to God and asked God to give him a blessing. And the great thing about this is not only did he want a blessing over himself, that he would not experience pain or sorrow, but that he didn't want to cause pain and sorrow to other people around him. And it says, as I was researching this, it says the Bible scholars have translated the last part of verse 10 as a prayer. Well, we know that it was a prayer that Jabez kept, that he wanted to be kept from pain, and that he pleaded for help. He was asking a blessing, and he was pleading for help so that he would not be sorrow or pain to someone else. So he was seeking. What I want you to understand, there's a number of things that are going on here. First, Jabez seeks God and seeks his blessings. That's what we're supposed to do. That's another example that we can use from this particular story, that Jabez went to God asking for blessings. You know, some people think as Christians that we're not supposed to ask for God's blessings. That we'll take what God wants to give us. No, we're to come boldly to the throne room. We're to come boldly and confidently to the throne room. And we're to come expecting. And God says, you know, come, call upon me. You have not because you ask not. Jabez went to God and he asked for God's blessings. But the thing is, he didn't ask for anything in specific. It goes on to say, it says, and Jabez called, called on God of Israel saying, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be on me and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain." So God granted him that. So he was specific about what he wanted God to bless him with, or how he wanted God to bless him. He was specific. So there's so many things that we can learn. Even though Jabez, there's only two verses, that's why we don't know that much about Jabez. There was only two verses that talk about him, that he was a man of honor. But why was he a man of honor? Because he didn't look at the things in the natural. He didn't allow his name, that, you know, back then, when you were named something, they understood the meaning of that name. How many of us, if we were to, you know, look at our name, would we know what the meaning of our name is? I know mine, but it's because somebody told me. It's not because I looked it up. Somebody told me. But the thing is this. Back then, when you were given a name, everybody knew what that name meant. So it was like, you know, he was labeled. His mother literally labeled him. So Jabez had a choice. He could allow that name to label him for the rest of his life, or he could move on and go to God, ask God's blessing. And again, he didn't do it just for himself. He did it so it didn't affect the people around him, his family, his friends. That says a lot about who Jabez was. I love the end, as I was writing this, like Jabez, don't let pain or the problems, you say, well, I'm not in pain, but you do have problems. He had, it was a problem. You know, it could have been a problem, should I say. It could have been a problem, and he could have thought, well, I'm labeled for life now. But he didn't allow that to happen. And that's what we have to do. We have to realize that our problem, our label that people have put on us, doesn't define who we are. Again, that doesn't define who we are. So when we go to God, we know that we are a child of the Most High God. That label we want. That's who we want to define people to know who we are, that we are the child of the Most High God. Now, another example, and it's not so much, we know what David went through, and we know the life that David led. He had a heart for God. And because of that, God poured out his blessings on David time and time again. And David, because he waited on God to open the doors. You know, God had a plan for him. David knew that plan. They anointed him with oil to be king. And yet David knew it was in God's timing, not in his own timing. And yet during that time, he was being sought after by Saul and by his own son, Absalom. And there was always some type of conflict. There was jealousy. There was so many things coming at him. He was hiding in caves because he was being chased after. His life was always on the line. Someone, always was chasing him down. But David did not allow those problems to define who he was and what he was to do. He waited on God. So what I'm saying with this example is that we need to sit back when we're going through a problem, when we're going through a valley. They're only temporal. The only thing that never changes is God. Everything else changes. Our situations will change. It seems like forever when we're in that valley, but they do change. So when we go to God and we ask for his blessings, his favor, just like we did this morning over the prayer needs and the praise reports, we came to God and we thanked him. And we came to God asking for blessings for these people that needed prayer. We came corporately together praying for these people. So with that, I go to Psalms 103 where David reminds us. And that's the thing. When David would write these psalms, he was going to God. And not only was he being a blessing to God, God was being a blessing to him. The more David wanted to bless God, the more God has said time and time again, let's play this little game of let's see who can outgive who. And we know God's always going to come out on top. We know that as we sing today and praise him and worship him, and we spend this time with him in fellowship together, that God is going to go above and beyond because we take the time to come here to hear his word. But not only hear it, but we walk that word out. We confess that word. When we do that, God stops everything else, and he takes that time to pour out his favor, his blessings upon us. And that's what David does time and time again through these psalms that he writes. So in Psalms 103, it starts with verse 2, "Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his blessings or his benefits." It says, "Who forgives all our sins." That's a blessing. That's a promise. That's a blessing. That's his God's favor. "Who forgives all of our sins, heals all of our diseases, who redeems our life from the pits and crowns us with love and compassion." These are blessings. So when we're going through times, when we're walking through valleys, when we're discouraged, here's Cheryl who, they were, giving her a negative when all she wanted to do was not only be a blessing to them, she wanted to be a blessing to us. And it hurt her heart because She wanted so much to do what God wanted her to do. She has a gift. She wants to reach and affect so many lives with the gift that God's given her. And yet God still gave her the boldness and the confidence to stand up in front of those people and not be angry, but turned around and said, thank you. Thank you for allowing me to make a difference in another church, to touch another church, to help another ministry. Thank you for letting me be a part of their ministry, their work. She made it from a negative to a positive. And that's what Caleb did. Things that looked negative when they went into the promised land, Caleb turned around and made it a positive thing. We can go in there. We can conquer it. We can conquer that. If God is for us, who can be against us? And that's what we have to realize, that when we go through these valleys, like Dave, this gentleman, John, whether John, you know, shared what he was going through, and Dave sat there and listened with open ears and took the time to just minister to him and just hear him out. You know, it's a blessing. We're being a blessing. Those blessings that are being poured out on us, we're to take those blessings and we're to share those blessings with others. You know, when I went down to see my son and his wife, they're so stressed out because of the baby with not sleeping at nights. And about the third night I was there, I could just see how exhausted he was. And it was his turn. They had shifts and he would work, you know, he'd hold the baby and take care of the baby so she could sleep about 8 o'clock till 1 or 2 in the morning. And then she would take from 2 o'clock till 8 o'clock. And, you know, so and you could see the exhaustion in both of them. And so he vented. After she went to sleep, he vented how he felt. And you could see the frustration in him. But when he would pick her up and he would hold her and rock her for hours, and the love that you could just see pour out of him. That's what we're to do. That's what we're to do, like Cheryl did. As much as the frustration or the hurt that we might feel when we're just trying to do what God's called us to do, we turn around and we look at the positive, not the negative. And the difference here is this, is when we look in the natural, that's what we're going to see. We're going to see and we're going to experience the negative. We're going to hear the negative. But if we seek God, we're going to see blessings upon blessings upon blessings. And we're going to, like my son holding that child, or like Cheryl expressing the positive, that's going to come out of our mouth. That action is going to be a positive thing. When we seek him, when we seek him, that, like, oh, where did that come from that I said that? I can't believe, you know, something positive. Something that's understanding, something that's patient, something that is kind, something that's compassionate. It all comes from God. It goes on to say in verses 5 of Psalms 103, who satisfies our desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. When we're tired, God gives us that physical strength to move on. When we're spiritually wore out, God, when we go to God, he gives us the strength that we need. It goes on in verse 6, the Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. Again, these are promises. Lord's compassion and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as we deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. Again, this whole chapter talks about God's blessings, God's favor, God's promise. In Psalm 67, it says, we should seek God's blessings so that our gladness in God will spread to all the nations. Right there says it all. That when we receive that blessing, we are filled with joy and gladness. And when we're filled with joy and gladness, and people see that in us, they say, I want some of that. I haven't had that or experienced that so much joy in my life or that much peace in my life. I want what it is that you have. So when we seek God, and we find as we seek God, he gives us the strength, he gives us the wisdom, he gives us the compassion, he gives us all that we need to go forward, not focusing on the negative, but focusing on the positive. And when we do that, that it comes outwardly through things that we say, things that we do. And when we do that outwardly, expression of God's love and his blessings and his promise to us, others see it. And when others see it, it continues to grow the kingdom of God. In Jeremiah 29:11, it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." Hey, to me, that sounds like a blessing that God wants us to take a hold of, to use, to apply. But the thing is this, when we hear this scripture, do we believe it? Do we want to believe it? We need to take a hold of these because they're personally meant for each and every one of us. God did this with you in mind. When he wrote, when these scriptures were brought and put in on paper, God had you in mind. He said, "I wrote your name in the palms of my hand." He doesn't see you, yes, as corporate, as praise and worship, but when he sees you, when it comes to blessings, to favor, to his promises in you, he sees you personally. He sees every need. He knows you more than you know yourself. And he knows the things that you need. And he knows exactly when that need needs to happen and where it needs to happen. How many of us can look back today and remember a promise or a blessing or God's favor that was poured out at the right time, at the right place, in such a way that you'll never forget it? Think about that. So the next time when you're going through a valley, when it looks like whatever you're going through in the natural is never going to change, you look back on that promise, that blessing, that favor that God poured out on you. Don't be like the Israelites who gave a bad report and looked in the natural instead of going and using God and saying, "We can do this. We can conquer it." Look at what God has done. There's a song that says, "Look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me just in time. Oh, I'm going to praise his name. Each day he's just the same. I'm going to praise him. Look what the Lord has done." That's what David did. That's what David did every day. It's simple, but yet it's hard. But if we keep our eyes on the prize, and that's Jesus. Amen? Amen. Lastly, in Hebrews, it talks about the heroes of faith. There were 16 of them, men and women. I'm going to give you a few: Abel, Enoch, Noah, Moses, Joseph, Jacob, Isaac, Abraham, Sarah, Rahab. All of these people, they lived by faith. All of these people also died in faith. In faith. They walked it, they lived it, and they died in faith. And there's going to be a day that we are going to stand before the Lord and we're going to hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," because we died in faith, believing. The last thing, in Numbers chapter 6, the benediction, which is what we do every single Sunday at the end of our service. It's simply a blessing spoken at the end of worship service. It's a closing prayer, a blessing over all of us who believe in Christ. God's divine blessing, God's help, God's guidance, and God's peace is spoken over you every single time you leave this place. To receive this blessing over you today, I want you to understand one thing. that three times you're going to hear, may the Lord, may the Lord, may the Lord. But six times you're going to hear the word you. Because God looks at you individually. And he sees you and he sees what you're going through. Think about that. May the Lord, may the Lord, may the Lord. And six times, double six times you hear the word you. He's talking about you. So today as we stand, and I pray and speak the benediction over you today, I want you to receive that blessing, that promise, that favor from God. Take it seriously because he was thinking of you. He had you in mind when these words were written. So would you please stand? And with that, I would like you to take your hands and I want you to open them up and receive that blessing today, okay? May the Lord bless and keep you, and may the Lord make his face to shine down upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.